Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Well, here we are again. Welcome to the No BS Bishop. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I am a No BS Bishop because I'm alive to love, and I have decided that all lesser values than love can devolve into potential BS, stuff that doesn't matter anyway. So I have decided that love is the one thing I'm going to live the rest of my life for. I'm determined to be a loving human, a loving man, a loving believer, a loving citizen, a loving husband, a loving father, a loving grandfather. I have decided to be a lover of my neighbors, a lover of my enemies, a lover of life, a lover of my country, a lover of the world around me, a lover of nature, a lover of my work, a lover of my own self. In life, there is one power that will sustain your health. It'll sustain your mental health, your relationships, and that power is love. And I know there would be somebody who would argue with me and say, yeah, but God, you got to have God. And I agree. Oh, boy, do I ever agree. I've been a pastor for the better part of a half a century. But I'm going to tell you, if you believe in God, then you believe in love. Love is God and God is love. First John tells us, teaches us that he who dwells in love dwells in God, and he who dwells in God dwells in love. If you are a believer, then you're going to be a lover. There's no option. There's no option. So to the degree that you believe is the degree you'll love. And if you're not loving, 1 John says, 1 and 2 John, 1, 2, 3 John, great little books in the New Testament, way back there, and they're tiny little epistles, but you should read them. You could read them in about an hour's worth of setting. But that little chapter is pretty interesting because it says, if you say you love God, but you hate your neighbors, you hate your friends, you hate your brother, you hate anybody, then 1 John has a little word for you there. You're a liar. You can't love God and say, I don't love my neighbor, I don't love my enemy, because if you love God, you will love people. So here's my position in life. It's a decided position. I will get to that in a moment in my discussion today. But here's my position in life. I have decided that love is the only value worth living for, that I was born from love, to love, and through love. And at the end of every day, I have to evaluate and inventory me and ask myself hard questions about, did I love today? Was my love on or was my love off? Was my love rising or was my love in a plateau? And you know what? I'm honest enough. I've learned to be honest enough with myself at the conclusion of every day to evaluate and to assimilate an answer for myself. And if the answer is negative, if the answer is harsh or critical of my day, then I'm honest with myself. I take honesty for myself above honesty with anybody else as my virtue in life. I will not live this life to beat up other people based on my opinions or my judgments, which takes me to the beginning of today. So I know you all have heard the phrase, oh, they're just lucky in love. Oh, look at how life has treated them. They're just lucky in love. Now, and in fact, somebody might even suggest to me, well, you've just been lucky in love. You've had all the luck in the whole wide world. You've been a pastor. You've lived in a little gilded fairy tale life. You know, you've never had to face the big, bad, ugly wolf of rejection or hatred. You've just been lucky in love. And to all of that, I would respond by balderdash. No, I am not lucky in love. My story is one that if I ever were to sit down and record it, it would take hours to tell some of my story as a child growing up in a dysfunctional home. And that's not my purpose today. But I was not lucky in love growing up. I was not lucky in love as I went into my high school years. I was growing in love as I ended up into the latter part of my teenage years and then growing into my young adult years. But let me tell you something very specific. Luck has nothing to do with the love that Randy Dean has enjoyed, the love that Randy Dean exercises, and the love that I continue to enjoy and exercise and reach for. I have discovered that one of those virtues in life that definitely can devolve into BS is to assimilate that some people are just lucky and others aren't. Well, that's just BS. No. I read it was my father-in-law. He had a little plaque on the wall of his house years ago that I loved. He said, "You know what? It seems like the harder I work, the luckier I get." I agree with that. Now, I know there are limits to it, but I'll tell you what, that has a lot of truth to ring to it. The harder I work, the luckier I get. So I would translate that into today's broadcast, my discussion with you, that we are at a critical mass in the United States of America. I'm recording this, by the way, on the day after our national election. It is not my purpose here to discuss politics. It is my purpose here to discuss the one value that is greater than all other values, and that is love. I have come to believe that where we are today as a nation, maybe even as a world, but especially here in the United States, is that we're in a setup. We have been set up. We're going to either love, we're going to learn to love, or we're going to perish. One of the two. And history is waiting to see which decision we all will make. I believe this current political setting in our nation is a dare to love. It's a dare to rise to the majesty of God, and that majesty is love. Many years ago, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said something that was so epic, it still needs to be stared at and looked at and ruminated and meditated over. And here, it's a simple one-sentence phrase. We must learn to live together as brothers or perish together as fools. You see, luck has nothing to do with that. He's not saying, boy, you know, we're going to have to find some luck in love or we're going to perish. No. So that's why I started this discussion today with that some people think that you're just lucky in love. Lucky in love. No. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. says it, and I believe it's absolutely true. I wish I had said it, then I could sound that smart. But I didn't say it. I'm smart enough to quote a man. And the man said, we must learn to live together as brothers. And of course, that was in the 60s when it wasn't really fully understood that, you know, guess what? We're brothers and sisters. But all that to be discussed at another place. But we'll learn to live together as brothers and sisters, as family, or we're going to perish as fools. He didn't leave much wiggle room in there, did he? Not much wiggle room in there. To learn to live together in love is what I would say. We will learn to live together in love, or we will perish as fools. So let me discuss with you the reality of love isn't luck. The reality of love is that we learning love. Maybe we could make it into some kind of a bumper sticker or cliche that we say regularly. It's not that people are lucky in love. It's that they're learning to love. Look at that guy. Look at that gal. Look at that man. Look at that woman. Look at that child. They're learning to love. Isn't that adorable? They have learned how to love. If you could see somebody who's been through tragedy and they've risen from their tragedy, they've been crucified, dead and buried, but on the third day they rose up. You would not say, wow, they were lucky. No, you would say, oh my, they learned something. And that learning, that education, that assimilation of the truths and in the process of that death, burial, and resurrection, that was something they had to put their whole attention to learn to love. So today I'm going to go there with you and tell you that as a nation, the United States is being challenged to an educational moment, a moment of education to learn to love. To learn to love is greater than our democracy. To learn to love is greater than our vote. To learn to love is greater than the idea that we are e pluribus unum. To learn to love is a greater notion than being a melting pot. To learn to love, in fact, to learn to love makes all of the previous things I just said possible. Because it will only be as we love that we will be out of many one. It is as we learn to love that we will be a melting pot. It will be only as we learn to love that we will become again a nation united, not because we all agree, but because we have decided to learn to love. The deeper the challenge, the higher the mountain we can climb and achieve something that few civilizations, few nations have ever long embraced. May it be said of us as a nation, we learned to love. Not that we were lucky, but that we learned. So when you are to learn to love, I know you're asking me, how? Help me learn to love. Okay, good. That's why I'm here with this No BS Bishop Alive to Love. I want to teach people how to love. You know what? And hear me carefully. I've said this before, but I'm going to repeat it here. I don't pretend to have all the answers. I'm not even here suggesting to you that my life has been one of just this complete education in love, that I've arrived, that, you know, if you want to learn love, just watch me for a couple of days. No, I'm telling you, well, first of all, yes, you can see my example overall, but on any given day, I fail. On any given moment, I could fail, which is why I said earlier, when I put my head on the pillow at night, I take an evaluation. I do an inventory. I try not to keep myself awake all night doing it, but I do ask myself hard questions. Did you love today? Was your love consistent? Was your love fully engaged or not? And I'm comfortable enough with myself to answer that in the negative if I haven't done it. So I keep good emotional notes. Now, having said that, though, I do believe that at this point in my life, I am here to teach and unpack and instruct and encourage and console and comfort, do anything I can, and by whatever means I have at my disposal, to challenge people to the Mount Everest of love. So I'm here today to talk about learning to love. Learning to love because everything else is just window dressing. Learn to love because everything else is just a little bit of decoration around it. Love is the centerpiece. Everything else is just window dressing. So how do you learn to love? Number one, listen more than you talk. Now, don't take that whatever. No, I want you to listen to me right now and listen more than you talk. You know, that's an occupational hazard for me. I'm called to preach, so I do a lot of talking, but I have learned that in my talking, if I don't listen when I'm not instructing or teaching or preaching, if I haven't listened outside of those venues, then I am a very poor preacher. I'm a very poor teacher. I'm a very shallow spiritual leader if I have not been a fully engaged listener, a soul, a mind, an EQ that is better than my IQ. You know what an EQ is, don't you? Your emotional quotient. I would also say it's your empathetic quotient. Am I living an empathetic life? Do I demonstrate empathy? Meaning that do I learn to climb into the circumstance of others? When I listen more than I talk, I am disciplining me towards something that most human beings don't do. Listen. That's what I mean. Listen. Good listening. I, you know, now, again, go back to my own personal inventory. I am I am in a point in my life at 67 where I am having to really get a hold of myself as never before. I feel like I've learned so much that I just got to talk. But I have also discovered that if I keep talking, I'm not listening. My physical hearing is declining. Yeah, I know. It's terrible. And I know I've got to have my hearing checked. And I know I've got to get in for one of those free offers that comes in the mail almost every week. I know. But my physical hearing is a reminder to me that I have got to keep an emotional and intellectual listening aid turned on at all times. My physical lack of hard of hearing is to me a reminder that, Randy, be quiet. Somebody's speaking, and maybe they're saying the very thing you've been waiting to hear. Randy, be quiet. All that cry and the prayers you prayed for God to speak, maybe God is speaking in that 5-year-old child. Randy, be quiet. Listen. You never know, but what that adult over there who's deeply wounded, deeply frustrated, deeply hurt, maybe your listening could instruct you towards something you need to do. Listening at a level that's extraordinary. Listening at a level that assimilates someone's words. And yes, there are people we listen to that, you know, they're complaining, their negativity, their miseries, their commiserations are constant. And we would all be, myself included, we'd all be tempted to turn off the volume, turn off their microphone. Don't listen anymore. My God in heaven, help me. I can't stand hearing that voice anymore. But you know what? Then if we start that kind of habit, it spills into everything else. Listen more than talking. I've discovered through my own experience, good, bad, and indifferent, and in my own leadership. I've been on a school board. I was 18 years, 6 times elected to a local school board. For 6 of those 18 years, I was the chairman of that board. And one of the things you have to do in a public setting like that is to operate by Robert's Rules of Order, which I've discovered means that every one person only gets a few minutes, because I can't let everybody talk forever or we're never going to get anything done. That's a great parable for life, isn't it? Everybody gets to talk for a little while, but listen, everybody had better listen intently, including the people who feel that they're entitled to talk. I've also learned that being as a pastor on boards and serving on nonprofit boards over the years, that when we are in board meetings, when there's a leader who is constantly talking and all the other followers are not having anything to add, something's dysfunctional in that power structure. There has to be a mutuality of communication. There has to be an ample opportunity for everybody to listen, everybody to speak, yes, but everybody to listen, and listen without an agenda. By the way, you all know this, I hope. Don't listen so that you can formulate what you're going to say next. Don't listen on that level. That's cheap and easy listening. Listen on the level that changes your perspective, that gives you the opportunity, as the old saying is, walk a mile in my shoes. Walk a mile in that person's shoes. Walk a day of their life for a little while, and maybe you'll understand why they're so frustrated, why they're so ragged. So learning to love means I'm not lucky in love. No. It may look like love, but if you could see me day in and day out, you know I've not been lucky in love. I've simply learned to love. And second of all, the other half of this is just simply this. When you do talk, and yes, we all get to talk. We all listen to me. Here I am talking away for the better part of a half an hour. When we do talk, learn how to ask questions. When we are going to learn love, we have to learn how to ask great questions. pondering, questions that will make you ponder, questions that make you have to think about what's really at stake in the conversation here. Ask questions and then listen. But ask when you do talk. Be a person with inquiry on your heart. Be a person who has curiosity. Listen, curiosity doesn't kill the cat. What kills the cat is carelessness in that curiosity. It's not curiosity, because if curiosity killed human beings, we'd all be dead. The planet would be a cemetery. Curiosity keeps us alive. But when we get careless in our curiosity, when we don't learn lessons from our curiosity, when we haven't paid attention with our curiosity, that will kill you. So when we talk, make sure you're asking an honest question, not a setup. You know, that's why this whole broadcast theme is, I'm alive to love, lesser values or potential BS. Don't BS people toward a question that's going to get them cornered where they feel like they can't really answer you honestly. Give yourself the privilege of deeper thought, a meditation in your thinking that will ask questions. And by the way, you know, one of the things that the human race has, I think, over time, we've evolved out of a campfire where we all sat around. You know, there was no TV, no radio, there was no internet, there was nothing else to entertain our brain except just sitting around a campfire and having a discussion. Wow, imagine that. Or like Jesus and his disciples, they didn't jump on the city bus and drive somewhere. They didn't go to a train station or an airport. They walked everywhere they went. One of the phrases that came from the rabbi system of learning in the day of Jesus was the blessing that said, "May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi," which is to say, as your rabbi is walking, your rabbi is kicking up a little dust. They're walking dusty paths, and there's a little dust that's flying behind them. And as you follow your rabbi, you're going to be covered in their dust. That is an analogy, an allegory, that is saying your connection, your following a teacher is going to get you caught up in their instruction, their meditation, their ponderings, but it's also going to get you caught up in the dust of their walk. And I would suggest it will get you asking questions. You know, that was the, you know, if the four Gospels do one thing for us about the disciples is, wow, they ask questions constantly. And their questions were sometimes pretty shallow, but sometimes they were insightful. Questions, asking questions without a determination to corner or to trap people. So in your learning to love, listen more than you talk. And when you talk, be determined to ask good questions. So I started this today by saying that I'm not a fan of believing that we get lucky in love. I'm not a fan of that at all. I believe we learn to love, and then that starts to look like luck to other people. I mentioned earlier the plaque that my father-in-law used to have on a wall in his house, which said, "I have found that the harder I work, the luckier I am." I am convinced that's how love works. Love, when we learn to love, everything else seems to come drawing toward that one bead. Somebody just recently commented on my Facebook post that I'm on Facebook. Go ahead and like me on Facebook. I think you might enjoy me, I hope. But somebody suggested, listen, you can't just love people. You got to do other things besides love. Well, therein is the dilemma, isn't it? For me, that is instructive. Yes, we can, quote, just love. Yes, we must just love. And I know there are other things to do. There are projects and work to be done. There's relationships to be ironed out. But guess what? We have to start with love. Because if we don't start with love, we're not going to end where we want to end. Love is the beginning point, love is the middle point, and love is the finish line. We are made by love, through love, for love. So when people say, well, you can't just love, well, there's got to be other factors going on here. You're going to have to, you know, be rough with people. You're going to have to tell them the truth. You're going to have to convince them of other formulas and equations. Again, that to me, all of that is BS. Because if I stay on the subject of love, love will work all of those other things out. Well, my time is drawing to a close for today. Don't be lucky in love. Learn to love. We'll either learn to live together as brothers and sisters, or we will perish as fools. I think those words are pertinent from Martin Luther King Jr. for this day and time in the United States of America. So as I close every broadcast, I'm going to ask you to do a couple of things with me. First of all, take a good deep breath. Pull it into the bottom of your lungs. Hold your breath all the way. Draw in air to the bottom of your lungs. Are you ready? Here we go. Pull it in. Hold it. And exhale. One more time. One more time. Here we go. Pull in a full set of your lungs, full volume of air. Here we go. In and out. That's just an exercise. Do that routinely through your day, especially as you feel yourself tensing up or feeling your blood pressure rise. Breathe, just breathe. Jesus said the Holy Spirit's just like air, just like breathing. So we need to learn how to breathe physically if we're going to learn anything about what the Holy Spirit wants to be in our life. And second, I want to challenge you in every close of this No BS Bishop. Look people in the eye. Slow down your words and your rhythm of life. And be determined to look somebody all the time right in the eye and say, I love you. You know, that'll feel weird. It'll feel awkward with some people. And yeah, you've got to take good care about how and with whom you say that. But listen, 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 please listen. Those three words are like magic for somebody somewhere who hasn't heard it in maybe weeks, maybe months, and God help us, maybe even years. I love you. I want you all listening to me right now to hear me say, I love you. Thanks for giving me this half hour of your time. It is an honor. I'm so humbled by your attention today. Thank you for letting me go on about alive to love. Now go out there and do something beautiful, because, oh, baby, ugly has been done to death. Thanks again for being here today for this episode of the No BS Bishop.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.